the McIntosh County Academy Buccaneers Coaches Show with head coach Tony Glazer. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Darien Pharmacy, Action Heating and Air, David's Tire and Auto, and by Southern Hardware. And now, here's your host, Jason Bishop. Welcome to the McIntosh County Academy Coaches Show with head coach Tony Glazer on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment of the Buccaneer Coaches Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Southern Hardware, Darien Pharmacy, Action Heating and Air, and by Davis Tire and Auto. And now joining us, the head coach of the MCA Buccaneers, Coach Tony Glazer.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me this evening.
Sure, Coach. Okay, so MCA 0-3 now on the season, a hard-fought game against Jenkins County on the short end. I believe the final was 28-14. A really competitive game. You look at the score and you see Jenkins County two touchdowns win, but that game was a lot closer than what the score indicated.
Yeah, it was a lot closer. We made a couple key mistakes late in the game defensively that allowed them to get, you know, the last touchdown. I mean, we got to 14-7 at one point in time and let them score the very next play on a blown assignment 80-yard touchdown run. But we played hard, and, you know, all in all, I think the game was much closer than the score. It could have went either way.
In our three games to this point, Coach, we are 48-14 against Pierce, 49-7 against Brunswick, of course, Brunswick 6A, and then a 28-14 loss to Jenkins County. Now, Jenkins with the win, they got themselves their second consecutive win. They get back 2-2, and more importantly for them, it's a region win and a region loss for us.
Yeah, it was definitely a big game to start the region playoff, especially for the power rankings. And you know, going into it, we thought it was a game we had an opportunity to win, but we also knew at the same time we were going to have to play our best game and, you know, limit our mistakes and, you know, kind of go into it and, you know, to hope we get out of there with a W.
The offense has sputtered to this point in the season, only 14 points. That's the most we've scored in a game, 14 points. And the offense is averaging 11.6 per game. Your thoughts on the offense?
I think we're evolving. I think a lot of it has just been, you know, the inconsistencies with guys in and out of the lineup. We've had a lot of guys in and out of the lineup. We've already played three quarterbacks this year. I mean, that's part of it, too. And then also, we've made a lot of mistakes. You know, last game alone, we got a lot of false starts and holding. And offense is all about, you know, consistency and keeping the chains moving. You get the chains moving, the defense is on there for another set of series. And you start to get the momentum. You can't go three and outs, have penalties, get to second and 15 or first and 20, and turn the ball over and have a chance to be successful offensively. And those things are just hurting us right now.
Coach, you mentioned the quarterback. It seems that that position has really been a struggle for whoever it is that is under center for this season. I think your starter McClellan against Jenkins County certainly struggled playing quarterback. I think it was something 2 of 13 for 40-something yards through the air.
Yeah, he actually came in. We actually started Ethan Bentages early on, and he was we couldn't get anything moving early on, so we decided to make the move.
Okay.
And let both of them play, you know, trying to get a little bit of rhythm, one guy or the other, and we just, you know, couldn't really get anything going. But, you know, to their defense, we also had quite a few drop passes too. You know, a lot of times those don't show up in the stats, but we had five drops, but four of them were first downs. And that's going back to what I was saying about developing a rhythm to get the chains moving. That's how you score points. You can't just score points off three plays. Got to get a first down, wear the defense down. And, you know, whether it was mistakes, drop balls, fumbles, we did everything we could do to shoot ourselves in the foot.
This is the MCA Coaches Show with head coach Tony Glazer on the Bishop Media Sports Network. One good thing that I feel like that we did Friday night was I feel like we rushed the ball pretty effectively. We had some different backs rushing the ball, three different guys in particular that got their hands on the ball, and we ended up rushing for almost 140 yards on the ground in the game.
Yeah, we did a good job up front in our run game, and I think we'd have been able to have a little bit more, but the first half we just didn't run but 12 plays. So it made it tough. The second half we were able to really get some things going once we were able to kind of settle in and kind of get out of our own way. The first half we turned it over three times, and it's tough in a game where they run the triple option, they're run control, you know. We didn't have the ball as much as we'd like, and we didn't help ourselves out when we did have the ball by going three and outs or turning it over.
Those running backs, Isaiah Jason, 7 for 75 yards, Cummings, 11 for 44, and Ellison, 4 for 20 yards. So every time those three backs got their hands on the football, they did obviously make positive things happen running the football. Is that a sign of your offensive line being able to get more comfortable run blocking this far in the season?
I think so. I think, you know, going into it, we were kind of looking at it, hoping to be like a 60-40, but I think based on the quarterbacks in and out of lineup and you know, the inconsistencies we've had, I think we're going to end up having to be mostly a running team, and we're fine with that. I mean, you know, ideally, you know, running the ball and hopefully playing good defense is a great formula to win ball games, but also going into it, you know, we kind of take what the opponent gives us. And last game, the way they were playing, it was tough to pass the ball. And running the game was our option. And if we didn't have the mistakes, I think we'd have ran for at least 200 plus yards.
Total rushing 139 yards, and then on total yards 179. So almost 80% of your offense rushing the football. So definitely some things to look at quarterback. What is your coaching staff doing at quarterback to maybe take a look at some of these kids, trying to develop them, maybe coach them up? What exactly are you doing there?
Well, I mean, you know, it's not always all in the quarterback.
Okay.
I mean, there was times last game and other games, too, that, you know, they were running for their lives a little bit. And then at times when they did put, you know, good balls out there, like I said, we had 5 drops last game. I mean, that's tough. That really is tough on the quarterback, especially because they're trying to get a rhythm, too. I mean, the quarterback's the ultimate position on the field. Once you get in rhythm and get going, it's almost like a three-point shooter. Once you get an easy throw or two, easy shot or two, a layup or two, it gets you rolling. But we're just trying to work on fundamentals with those guys and try to figure out what routes they're comfortable throwing and, you know, sitting down with them and going over the game plan and figuring out, okay, well, when we run this play, we want to throw it here, or we run this play, if they give us this coverage, we want to throw it here. So we're trying to break it down a little bit more with those guys and just, you know, like we've told the receivers, they've got to help them out some too.
On defense, you guys are giving up 41.6 per game, but I think a little bit that's deceiving. Because two of those three games, one against 6A Brunswick and then powerhouse Pierce County. So I think those numbers are drastically skewed, especially on the defensive side of the ball of what you're actually giving up. You had against Jenkins County, you guys had Crosby Tyler with 12 tackles and Isaiah Jackson with 11 tackles. And you did a really good job of limiting what they could do offensively, I felt like.
Yeah, I mean, I thought other than if you take two plays out of the game, which, you know, we had a blown assignment. We had two guys on quarterback. When you can't do that against a triple option, he took it up the middle 80 yards, and, you know, he was a good ball player. So once he got in space, we struggled to get him. And then literally later in the game, same scenario, 80 yards, they ran a counter, and we ran out of position. It was two plays. I mean, if you take those plays away defensively, our kids played tough. I mean, the first half, other than one drive, they didn't get a first down. They had one nice drive against us, but other than that, they didn't get a first down. We were getting on pretty good and giving our offense pretty good field position. We made a few mistakes in the special teams games. We muffed a punt and got a couple blocks in the backs, which, you know, pushed back the field position we'd have. But I thought all in all, our defense did play pretty good Friday night.
Yeah, and another guy that I failed to mention with the tackle is, of course, a big interception coming from Johnny Cummings.
Yeah, that was big. That helped set us up. He intercepted the ball and ran it back to the 25-yard line, and we were able to score a couple plays later. So it was a good momentum switch. And like I said, we had started to settle in, you know, got to 14-7, you know, kicker kicked out the end zone. We're pumped, and then next play, 80 yards to the house. And, that's, you know, I told our guys after the game, that's things defensively, if we can limit the big plays, we'll be fine. Because it killed us against Brunswick, and it killed us against Pierce, just big plays, blown assignments. And it's, you know, we're young, you know, we get these athletes in space, and we struggle, you know, trying to tackle. So,
more to come on the Buccaneers Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
Fight songs, cheerleaders, whistles blowing, they're all part of the game. Unfortunately, so are injuries. I'm Dr. Denny Carter with Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, reminding all athletes that if you hurt your elbow, break your hand or wrist, or even blow out a shoulder or knee, we can help. And we have the strength of Southeast Georgia Health System supporting us. Call 1-855-ASK-SGHS. That's 1-855-275-7447, or visit sghs.org.
If you need it, Southern Hardware has it. From mowers to trailers to case knives, you will find it all at Southern Hardware. Locally owned and operated since 87. Right now, you will find the lowest prices of the year on Gravely Fleet mowers. Southern Hardware is the leading volume dealer for all Gravely products. Southern Hardware, 3305 U.S. Highway 82, SouthernHardwareInc.com, 912-267-7992.
In South Georgia, it's hot, and nothing is worse than not having an AC unit. That doesn't cut the mustard. Action Heating and Air is here to help, servicing McIntosh, Glenn, and surrounding counties since 1991. on call for you 24/7. And when it does cool off, Action Heating and Air can get your unit winter ready in a snap. Financing available. Action Heating and Air, 265-3008. Online at actionac.com. And let's go Bucks!
Welcome back to the McIntosh County Academy Coaches Show with Head Coach Tony Glazer on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Southern Hardware, and by Action Heating and Air. Coach, you guys, you got into a game where I felt like, and we were talking about in the break, you guys kind of started to settle in a 14-7 football game. You guys were right in the thick of things. You start to build some momentum now in that football game, and then a big play happens.
Yeah, it's kind of one of the things we've been preaching all year to our defense. You know, all year they've been playing hard, and, you know, for the most part, when we got lined up, we've been a solid football team. But it's been hampering us all year, giving up the big plays. And when we got it there Friday night, I mean, we stopped them three times Friday on 4th and 1, 4th and 2. We did a good job, but just the big plays, and both big plays were 1st and 10, had them in on their own 20, and then just blown mistakes, and next thing you know, we're going to run to the house. You know, we've been preaching all year, we've got to get more consistent, and you just got to be a good defense. You've got to limit big plays. You got to make an offense, you know, go 14, 15 plays, you know. And unfortunately, we weren't able to do that, and we kind of, I guess, ran out of gas, I guess you could say.
Well, I was going to mention that, you know, they score the touchdown, they get up 21-7, but then your kids answer, and you score another touchdown, and once again, you're kind of right back in the football game. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, we felt like we made some good adjustments offensively at half. We felt like defensively we were right where we need to be. Mm-hmm. We made some minor adjustments, and we actually got the opening kickoff the second half and started driving right down the field until we got two penalties. Ended up having to punt, and then we stopped them. Or got an interception, went and scored, and then they scored right back, and we got the ball. We went driving back down the field again. So we felt like we were settled in, but we felt like the clock, you know, wasn't on our side again with the offense they're running. You know, they're chewing the clock up, and, you know, we weren't playing that fast either, you know, because it was a hard-hitting physical game. We were just trying to get in the best position. I feel like the first half we maybe tried to play a little too fast, which caused us to make some mistakes. So we're just, you know, like I said, just improving every game, I guess.
How frustrating is that for a coach and a player to where you're trying to, you know, you're trying to play from behind, and then the team that you're playing against is such a ball control team on offense, and they just chew clock, and you can't ever seem to get the ball back to build some momentum.
Yeah, it's a struggle because, you know, we're not what I would consider a big play offense. We're kind of a ground and pound. You know, we'll take a shot when we can take a shot, but we're not a team who's going to be able to, you know, get chunks at a time. At least as of right now, through the four games we played, counting the scrimmage, we haven't been able to do yet. So we've got to be in games where we can, you know, stay even, stay ahead, and then especially when you're facing a team that literally just wants to run the ball every single play. You know, they did a good job of you know, putting in that fullback's belly and the quarterback keeping. Half the time, you couldn't tell who had the ball. That's why it was important. We preached all week about playing your assignment, and the two times we didn't, it led to 160 yards and 14 points.
So with your kids, you look at the wins, loss, 0-3, and obviously, again, you know, I feel like that your schedule at the front end has been just unfair. Pierce County and then Brunswick, I can't say that enough. More competitive a game against Jenkins County. So what do you say to your kids now at 0-3 moving into the bulk of your schedule, the bulk of your region play?
Well, we talked a little bit after the game. Just, I mean, this one's going to hurt. Tonight it hurt, you know, just kind of what we talked about. It hurt more than the other two. It was a game that we felt like we had a good opportunity to win, and I think we all kind of knew after the game that we didn't necessarily lose the game, but we gave our chance away from winning. You know, by making the mistakes and turnovers we did, we felt like we let a good opportunity away at a chance of getting the win. You know, going into region, we're just trying to stay positive and, you know, just keep even keel, trying to work on getting better daily, trying to get better in the weight room, trying to, you know, get more efficient in practice, you know, get more reps. You know, we're always preaching reps, trying to get as much as we can get in and just stay positive. I mean, it's like I told the Booster Club last night, you know, they're asking how things going. I said, you know, from looking at you look 0-3, you think, oh, well, they're not going, you're not doing anything, but we are getting better. We're getting a lot better. And I think by the end, you're going to be able to look at it like a full sample size instead of just, you know, saying, well, you're 0-3 or 0-4, 0-5. I think at the end of the year, when you put on the film from week 10 compared to week 1, you're going to see a completely different football team. And that's been kind of our goal from the beginning.
You're listening to the MCA Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Well, Coach, let's talk a little bit, kind of circle the wagons, come back to quarterback for a moment. Obviously, like you said, you made a change at quarterback in the middle of the game. So do you know going into, you got Calvary Day coming up, do you know who's going to be starting at quarterback against Calvary Day?
As of right now, we don't. We've been splitting them back. We've been splitting the reps in practice. And actually, our other quarterback, who was the initial starter, got cleared on Monday. So he's back in there now. He probably won't be able to play this week just because he hasn't been able to practice since, you know, the first week of August. But he's cleared and he's back. So we hopefully going into next week, we'll have a nice little, you know, three-person battle. And hopefully somebody will step up and take the job so we can move forward with one guy, which would be ideal. I don't want to, you know, pull the spur. You're having to rotate quarterbacks constantly. But at the same time, if they're working in practice and nobody's really stepping up, we're going to give them all the opportunity to play to see who can kind of lead the offense.
With that kid of earning the starting job in the spring and then the off season, is that a big lift to get him back?
I think it will be if he can get adjusted. But he's also only 14. He's a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a nice shoulder injury against Liberty County where he got picked up and slammed. And that was on August 10th. So, I mean, he hasn't been able to practice for a month and a couple of weeks. I mean, that's a lot of time to miss.
Yeah.
You know, we've expanded the offense some since then. So, we're going to have to make sure that he's comfortable back in that spot, comfortable with the plays, and just comfortable being back out there before we go back forward with them. So, I think it's going to be good to have the three of them just kind of competing at it.
Okay. All right. Welcome. Well, we'll be right back. I'm reading stuff that I'm not even supposed to read. My eyes went to the wrong script. Anyway, so we'll be right back to the Buccaneers Coaches Show with Head Coach
Darien Pharmacy is your hometown pharmacy in the Bluestein Shopping Center on Highway 17 in Darien. Darien Pharmacy accepts most insurances and offers competitive cash prices. Free delivery to McIntosh and Glynn counties. Look for them on Facebook and on their website, DarienRx.com. Open until 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. Give them a call, 912-437-3784. And let's go Bucks!
Tires, David's Tire and Auto. Brakes, David's Tire and Auto. AC work, David's Tire and Auto. Alignment, David's Tire and Auto. You get the point, right? Any work your car needs, David's Tire and Auto is your one-stop shop. So whether it's a tune-up, diagnostics, or whatever, David's Tire and Auto has you covered. 32 years experience and ASE certified. 1220 Northway, Highway 17, 912-437-3650. And find David's Tire and Auto on Facebook. A proud supporter of MCA Athletics. Let's go! Go Bucks!
Welcome back to the McIntosh County Academy Buccaneers Coaches Show with Head Coach Tony Glazer on the Bishop Media Sports Network. That's where I was supposed to read a minute ago, but yeah. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment's brought to you by David's Tire and Auto and by Darien Pharmacy. Okay, Coach, so let's kind of set the stage here. So MCA, three losses to begin the season, Pierce County, Brunswick High, and now Jenkins County. And so the Bucks are 0-3, and the loss to Jenkins County is a region loss. So yes, we're already behind the eight ball now in the region at 0-1. And then, of course, just for icing on top of the cake, we get to play Calvary Day on the road for the first time this season.
Yep, the game actually got moved to Saturday because they're playing actually tonight.
Oh, really?
Versus Trutland, because of the hurricane, they have to make up a game. So
how about that? Going against Trutland, going against Calvary Day, you got to have some type of game plan. So let's talk a little bit about what Calvary Day is. I'm sure you've had the opportunity to watch some tape on them. They're a very good football team. They're coming in at 2-0, wins over Johnson and the Islands, 41-12 over Johnson and 28-6 over the Islands. Tell me about Calvary Day.
Calvary Day, you put on film and you're like, you don't know nothing about Calvary, you're going to say, okay, that's a 3A or 4A football team. I mean, they were big across the board. They're both their defensive ends. One's committed to Duke. The other one's committed to Georgia Tech. Both their running backs have Division I offers. And then they have another sophomore kid who's got offers who plays line two. They're just a big old team. Those defensive ends flip over and play some offense too. And, you know, they're just – what really stands out on film is, of course, obviously they're well coached. They always are. But they're just – they're big and fast. I mean, they are – like I said, they look like a triple-A, 4A team. Off the, you know, from the start. And they got 70 kids for a single A team. I mean, that's
unfair. GHSA single A private.
Single A private. You know, when we go to the playoffs, obviously we'll be separated from them, but they are in our region, so we do have to play them.
Yeah. Which, that's another story for another day on how that's fair and makes sense, because I'm not really sure that it does. They're a pretty deep football team as well. Aside from just being big, last week they had eight guys rush the football. From the backfield, getting carries. what do you tell your defense? Because obviously when they've got 70 kids and you don't, you're going to have to, and you've got kids playing both ways, you know, and they've got eight guys running the football, that's a challenge.
It is, especially because offensively they want to play fast. They snap the ball very quick, and they rotate, like you mentioned, they rotate guys. And they have a couple kids who play both ways, but it's more of a necessity, not because they have to. They got, you know, plenty of capable backups, but some of the kids they got are just too good, you know, to sit on the sideline for one side of the ball or the other. I know defensively this week we've just preached on, you know, getting lined up, taking the call from the line. We don't have time to huddle up and just recognize who's in the backfield because, you know, based on which back is back there, it usually determines what type of run play they like to run. Like, they got some guys who like to hit inside, some guys are better outside, and we're trying to break it down as much as we can based on formation and personnel for our guys to hopefully, you know, give them a little idea what to expect.
And one thing of those eight backs, there is one guy that kind of stands out among the eight running backs, and that's Junior William Griffin. 25 carries, 244 yards. If you want to do the math real fast, that's 9.8 yards a carry with three touchdowns.
Yeah, he's definitely impressive. He's the one kid who he was actually out all of last year. And they pretty much gave the ball to the Leary kid last year, and I think he ran for about 1,200 yards last year, and then they got the Griffin kid back this year, and now they're both just, you know, taking turns back there. And then, you know, of course they flip over on defense too and play in the secondary. But the thing that stands out is they're both big time speed. And, you know, from talking to some people who know guys, they're both legit 4-5 kids.
And so the most obvious thing to say is, okay, Coach Glazer, let's stop the run. Well, before you can do that, Thomas Carver, their quarterback, is completing 76% of his passes with three touchdowns in his own right.
And on top of that, he can run the ball as well. He's, you know, they're very good at the RPO stuff, putting on those backs. And you got to play assignment. You know, our linemen and linebackers have got to get to the ball, and then our secondary's got a good job of finding those receivers, and then just hope he doesn't scramble, because that was the biggest thing against Islands. They're able to really get them on the RPO plays. They, you know, get sucked in because they're trying to stop the run, and then he pulls it out of nowhere and then hits the guy on the sideline, and then just the pure speed takes over.
You've got Isaiah Jason and Crosby Tyler, obviously, on the defensive side of the ball. I feel like those two guys are pretty much your defensive leaders, at least at this point. And, of course, and Mr. Amerson as well. Mm-hmm. And so with those three guys on defense and the ability of what they bring, do you feel like that you might have any mismatches defensively to where you'll be able to step up and kind of slow that offense down? Because at this point, they're scoring 34.5 a game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, going into it, we don't necessarily see any mismatches on paper. We know exactly what they want to do. And our coach has been doing a good job this week of coaches our kids up on what they want to do. You know, whether we'll be able to stop it will be, you know, another question that will get answered on Saturday. But I know our kids are two things. Our kids will be coach ready to be in position, and they'll play hard. They're not going to back down. Whether we can stop it or not will be determined, but they'll be ready to go.
This is the MCA Coaches Show with Coach Tony Glazer on the Bishop Media Sports Network. With them having to play the makeup game and then a short turnaround, that's got to be a little bit of an advantage, wouldn't you think?
I kind of thought about that, actually, and I thought, well, maybe they haven't been able to prepare for us yet, but then I remember that they've been preparing for Trutland since last Monday. So they probably, once the game got moved, probably already just kind of lightly looked at Trutland since they had been preparing for a week for them and already flipped the switch to us. But, you know, also, you know, playing two games in a week,
right,
you know, the wear and tear, mm-hmm. I mean, I know definitely it would be tough for us. And I think what you're going to see is you're going to see them tonight playing a lot of different bodies. Because, you know, that's a game they should handily be able to win. I think you're going to see them playing a lot of bodies tonight, trying to keep them fresh, because Saturday also is homecoming as well. So, you know, they'll definitely have a little extra motivation too. I mean, nobody wants to lose their own homecoming. So,
and with you guys going on the road the first time, what do you expect out of your kids? Because you've had the luxury of being home at the Ship for the first three games of the year.
I'm hoping that we have a business-like approach. I mean, we're going to get in here on Saturday. We're going to feed them, do a walkthrough. And basically, we're going to, you know, go through some meetings, get dressed, and, you know, when we hit that bus, it's business from here on out until that final whistle. So I'm hoping we go over there and, you know, get ready for a 48-minute game, and just, it's going to be hard hitting. It's going to be physical. They got that nice speed turf, so it's going to be a fast surface. They got nice facilities, and they have some good-looking kids. So I think our kids are excited about the challenge, definitely.
And no one has pretended that you walking in the door that you're going to win immediately region championships and a state title. You know, it's a building process, and so you guys had a little bit of a feather in your cap down in the JV ranks where you actually came away with a win, or your middle school ranks came away with a win over Calvary Day. Am I wrong?
Our JV 2 weeks ago, they went down there and played Calvary in Savannah and actually beat them 2-0. We won the game on a safety, which you look at it, you know, 2-0. And to offense defense, we did have 2 touchdowns called back. And Calvary struggled to move the ball all night. And obviously, we got a safety to be the final touch in the game. And at this age and this level, I'll take a 45-44 win, a 21-20 win, or 2-0 win. A win's a win. So we'll take what we can get. It was good for our younger kids. I mean, we're a very young football team.
Right.
And for our JV to go over there with 20 players and beat a JV with 40 kids, that's something good.
Talk a little bit about how enthusiastic that makes you and how excited that makes you to know that, you know, you're getting the stuff worked out at the varsity level to where you have to. And then at the same time, you know, of course, we've talked about this, you and I have, off the air, to where, you know, you're now building a program. And so to have your younger kids, your JV levels, winning those kinds of games, you got to feel like that's moving the program in the right direction.
It is. Anytime you can, you know, beat a team in junior varsity that you play regularly in region, it kind of gives you, you know, a little bit of, okay, this is what to expect. Hopefully a couple of years down the road, just about development. And, you know, especially for us, you know, we're so young. We got a couple of sophomores who should be playing JV, but they don't play JV because they're so important to our varsity. And, you know, we knew kind of going into it, in order to kind of flip this thing back around, we needed to do a couple of things. One, which was win at the younger age, which is, you know, from middle school JV, build its way up. We had to increase numbers, which we have, you know, going from 28, 31, 35, to now 45 40. In mm-hmm. spring. 45 now, excuse me. And then also we knew we really had to hit that weight room. And we've, you know, I see every kid during the day at some point in time, and they get in that weight room, and it's a business-like approach, and, you know, our strength numbers are going through the roof. Just unfortunately, we are trying to catch up. And I think we're almost getting to the point where we're about caught up, and now we're just kind of trying to get, you know, where we're strong, a strong football team. That's what we're trying to get to.
Well, Coach, thanks for coming on. And one thing I won't say is I'm not ruling out the possibility. I know Calvary's a good team. You know, I understand that. I think we've got a pretty good shot.
I mean, with our kids, I'll never doubt them. I mean, going to a game, anything could happen. And we know going down there, we've got to play our game to give us a chance to win. And I feel like our kids like stuff like this. I mean, all they talked about was, you know, getting to play, you know, team that's got 2 Division I defensive end. They don't scare from this type of stuff. If anything, gets them more excited about playing. So I'm definitely looking forward to going down there, and we're going to give them our best shot, and we'll go from there.
Thanks for joining us for the McIntosh County Academy Coaches Show with Head Coach Tony Glazer on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop signing off, and of course, as always, Coach, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.